our focus is going to become narrower and narrower as we remember what the Lord did for us that led us to and through the cross. And so this morning we're going to focus together on that Last Supper that Jesus and his disciples shared together as they made their way to that upper room, that place that Jesus reserved, so that he and his disciples could share this special final time together. And then next week we're going to look together at the intensity of the cross. And then we celebrate the fact that the story that we celebrate doesn't end on the cross. It ends in an empty cross and an open tomb. I am so looking forward to us sharing these next few weeks together. So let's jump in together here at Mark as we pick up where we left off in our scripture this morning. Remember this, when Jesus brought his disciples to Jerusalem for Passover, he knew this would be their final evening together. There would be nothing accidental about what would take place over the next few days. There would never be a time when Jesus was surprised by what was going on. He intentionally made sure that he would be in Jerusalem and that he would be in Jerusalem on Passover week. The cross was directly in his path. He knew he had come to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he made special arrangements for the upper room. He wanted to be alone one more time with the 12 to wash their feet, to pray for them, to prepare them for the fulfillment of the reason he had come. Nor was it an accident that the crucifixion would take place during Passover. Jesus chose to go to the cross during the time when God's people had gathered into Jerusalem to remember when God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And it was in that upper room that he would transform the Passover to something brand new. From that time forward, it would become the Lord's Supper. He would break the bread and declare, "Take, eat, this is my body." He would share the cup and tell them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many." They would take the Lord's Supper in the shadow of the coming cross. In sharing the bread and cup, Jesus was doing much more than indicating that his body would be broken and his blood would be spilled. He was also revealing what he would accomplish through the cross. You see, Jesus didn't pick up a random loaf of bread for them to eat or a convenient cup that they could share. The elements that made up the Lord's Supper had special significance during the observance of Passover. And the purpose for which that bread and that cup were intended are the purposes that Jesus came to fulfill and that he intends for us to observe every time we do this in remembrance of him. You see, the bread was called the bread of affliction. When God's people gathered together on Passover and shared in that unleavened bread, they remembered that time when their people had suffered and died as slaves in Egypt. Generations of Hebrews knew the misery of living under the whip of cruel masters. During Passover, the people were called to remember their affliction. And as they shared the bread together, they would remember that they were once enslaved. Remember how much their people had suffered. Remembered that they were helpless to deliver themselves. And then God, through Moses, stepped in to liberate his people and set them free. Jesus took that loaf, the bread of affliction, he shared it with his disciples because he wanted them to remember that this was what he was accomplishing through the cross. We need to remember our spiritual captivity. As we share in the Lord's Supper this morning, we need to remember where we were before we knew Jesus. That we were under the affliction of Satan. That we were enslaved by the consequences of our own sinful actions and decisions. We need to remember that Christ that we were helpless to do anything to rescue ourselves from death, hell, and the grave. And then Christ sacrificed himself and did for us what we could never do for ourselves. The Jewish people would say, we were helpless, we were lost, we were enslaved, and then God. The Lord's Supper says, we were lost, we were helpless, we were enslaved, and then Jesus, and then Jesus. When Jesus gave up his body on the cross, he did so to satisfy the demands of sin. He declared, take, eat, this is my body. A body that would be sacrificed on the cross. He took our punishment upon himself. He endured our affliction. No wonder Isaiah 53:7 declares, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was afflicted. Understand what Isaiah is reminding us of. It is reminding us that we were afflicted. We were the ones who had earned the punishment. We were the ones who had fallen short of God's ideal for our lives. We were the ones who were separated from God and eternally lost. We were the ones who were afflicted until he carried our affliction to the cross. And then the Bible says he was afflicted. He was afflicted. He carried the punishment. He fulfilled the judgment. He sacrificed himself that we might be forgiven and reconciled to God. He became the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And when we come to the Lord's table, we share in the sacrifice of the one who said, this is my body. But not only did they share together in the bread of affliction, the cup that they shared was the cup of sanctification, a symbol of the covenant that the Hebrews had made with God, that they would be his people and he would be their God. That cup of sanctification was an understanding that when God saved us, when God rescued us, when God delivered us and set us on a path toward the promised land, he did more than that. He formed a covenant with us. A covenant that said, we will be his special people. And he will be our God. And he will guide us. And he will protect us. And he will deliver us. And he will sustain us. And we can trust him all the way to the end. And Jesus took this cup of sanctification, and did something new with it. God had taken these people, he had made them a holy nation. The cup reminded them God had made them a covenant people. And as Jesus shared the cup, he told his disciples, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. As we prepare to share in the Lord's Supper, we need to remember that when he went to the cross, Jesus spilled his blood to make people holy. What did he accomplish when he shed his blood on the cross? Well, the blood provided atonement for sin. Jesus carried the penalty for your sin and mine, and he spilled his blood on the cross. The blood brought about redemption for sinners. Christ on the cross brought us back into a right relationship with God. Once we were not a people, and now we are a people, and we are a people because we are a saved and redeemed people through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. And the blood brought about transformation to eternal life. Christ on the cross opened the door to heaven for all who trust in him. And that's the significance of how Jesus completed the Lord's Supper. He said, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Now, Matthew adds two words to what Mark recorded. Two incredible words. Two words that mean everything as we stand on the verge of the Lord's Supper. What are those two words? With you. With you. I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. He was reminding them that what he was going to accomplish on the cross, that the salvation, the sanctification, was not something that would last for today and not for tomorrow and not for this year or even for a lifetime. It was an eternal thing. When we remember the blood that was shed, when we remember the body that was broken, we remember a life that was given that we might have everlasting life. Through the cross, Jesus transformed the cup of sanctification into the cup of glorification. We are not just made holy, we are made heirs of the covenant in his blood. When Jesus broke the bread and shared the cup, he transformed a celebration of what God had done long ago into a remembrance of what he is doing now and what he has promised to do. When you come to the table, remember, Jesus gave his body to rescue you from sin and reconcile you to God. He's poured out his blood to redeem you and open the door to eternal life. And he calls you today, do this in remembrance of me. Remembering the bread of affliction and how he carried the price for your sin. Remembering the cup of sanctification and how he died that you might be holy. Remembering those things, we symbolically share in the Lord's Supper as though we were with them in the upper room. As though we shared what Jesus shared with his followers long ago, because he's told us to do this in remembrance of him. And we gather at the table, not casually and not easily, but remembering the price of the cross. Remembering that we gather in the shadow of the cross. And so if you're here this morning and you name Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I invite you, come to the table, share and remember what Christ has done for you. Will you join me as we share in the Lord's Supper? We come to the table in the shadow of the cross. We come remembering the price that was paid, a body broken and blood spilled, that we might be forgiven and given eternal life. Come to the table of the Lord and remember what Jesus has done for you and how much he cares for you. When Jesus had broken the bread, he said to his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's pray together. And Father, we do thank you that as we share together in the bread, we remember that you gave your body for us. That, Father, you bore our affliction. And that all of the grace and all of the mercy and all of the redemption that we hunger for flows from the one who gave himself for us. So, Father, as we share in the bread, we pray, help us very seriously to remember what you've done and to share together in the bread. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
After the disciples had shared together in the bread, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Would you pray with me? Father, we have heard this morning your message about the cup of affliction, the cup of sanctification. Father, we know that the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was done, Father, that we might share in this life that can only come through your grace and your mercy. And so, Father, we are grateful to be able to come and in this time to remember, Father, the sacrifice that you have made for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples then sang a hymn together, and they would make their way from the upper room and onto the cross. And this morning we follow their example. We sing a hymn together as well, but this is a special hymn, a hymn of invitation. It may be that you're here today and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's never been a time when that broken body and that spilled blood became the sufficient sacrifice to save you from your sins. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, today can be your day of salvation. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. If you would like to follow Jesus, all you have to do is come down this aisle, and I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We'll be glad to talk to you about it, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Or maybe you're here as a follower and you know that this is the place where God wants you to plant your life. You need to become a member of this church because this is a place where you will find community, and this is a place where you can serve, and this is a place where you can worship, and God's calling you here. And you can come and become a part of First Baptist Church. Or maybe you're here as a believer and there's some special decision that you need to make. It may be a special calling. It may be a special burden that you're carrying, but you need to bring it. You need to bring it to one of us. You may need to bring it to the altar. Is there something you need to do? We're going to stand together. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. As God's calling you, you come. Let's stand.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from